This is the place where sports opinions collide. Dead End Sports, a special edition, an NBA edition, brought to you on a Monday night for some of you that are a bit thrown off. Yes, our weekly show is normally on Tuesdays, or is at Tuesdays at 9 p.m., but we can barely get in any NBA talk, and the NBA season has kicked off. So we decided to dedicate it a whole day and a whole episode to nothing but the NBA. So we can give you guys our outlook on the upcoming season, as well as commentary on just a couple of games that have taken place up to this point. And we will close the show with our top 10 NBA players right now heading into the NBA season. We are not doing it by position. B did send me his, though. He sent me his top five by position. But yeah, I think there's a conversation about basketball being positionless. So we're going to do like our top 10. I don't know if I told you that, Q. If I didn't, my bad. Maybe you could put something together because that's going to be at the end of the show anyway.
I got you, yeah.
But nevertheless, man, let's start with the Boston Celtics and New York Knicks. But before I do that, speaking of the Knicks, on the show we have Nick. We have Shelton, we have FIFO, we have Q, and I am your host, Kenneth B. Inge. All right. And make sure you guys come back tomorrow. We got NFL talk that's taking place. Big games went down last weekend. Spike isn't here. I don't think Spike's going to be here, but you guys know how he feels.
He ain't never showing up for basketball. It's only fitting that he don't.
Yeah, he was happy. Y'all probably don't want him here. But someone that didn't show up in the first game of the season, where the New York Knicks, the Boston Celtics faced off against the New York Knicks during their opening night ring ceremony, and it wasn't even close. We commented on that a little bit on one of the shows we were doing. But that's neither here nor there. The Boston Celtics are off to a hot start, and right now they're looking, you know, it's early. But, you know, I won't say, go into comment, but Tatum is balling, man. What do you guys think, man? Are the Celtics the favorites to win it all again, Shelton?
Yes, I think so. And I think so because they have a lot of chemistry. They brought everything back, and you're seeing the evolution of Tatum. It's still super early, and he feels like he has something to prove coming off these Olympics where we didn't see any time on the floor from him, and he was overshadowed by a lot of these stars. But lucky for him, he has backup. So when times get tough, he has other guys that can come up and step up and play big roles. You still got Jrue Holiday at the point. You still got Derek White as the utility man that does a little bit of everything. You still got Jaylen Brown, who is the MVP of the team. You have Al Horford. You know, you have a mix of players that you can turn to when times get tough with Tatum. And it just makes his job that much more easy. And so for me, they are the favorites. I'm really interested to see what Oklahoma City's going to do, but Boston is my favorite right now.
Well, are you flirting with the idea of Oklahoma City being a favorite?
I am. I think Oklahoma City is going to be that surprise team that comes up. And I'm sure we're going to go over some teams.
That can't be a surprise team. They were the number one.
I guess the reason why I'm saying surprise, they're number one seed, but they were surprised to do that last year. A lot of people kind of overlook them. You know what I mean? As far when I say surprise, I mean like they're kind of
overlooked. They've been gassed ever since.
Shelton, look at who you're talking to. Shelton, look who you're talking to. This dude was talking about they're going to trade Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, bro. This guy Come on, man.
I said this team is going to move on from SGA. I still believe that.
Because your NBA takes is crazy. That's why, Nick. That's why. That's the only logical reason.
Nick, he ain't because going nowhere.
How are you going to get rid of your best player when he's arguably like the second or third youngest player on the squad?
I didn't say right now.
They're not going to. I agree with B. He's going to be the MVP.
What's your timeline, FIFO? 3 to 5? That's my timeline for that. 3 to 5.
Why?
Going nowhere.
You, like you, I, you, You're saying you feel like there's no fact or logic based off of this. But go ahead.
I mean, shit. I mean, we didn't know the cat was going to get traded to the Knicks.
Cat and SGA, what do you mean? Two different things.
I know. I'm just saying. 100%. Okay. I'll bring another. We didn't know that.
You talk more than you listen. This is how I know you talk more than you listen, because I told you Cat's time was up. I told you that.
Fibo, you didn't even have to tell them. Everybody told them. They've been talking about trading Cat for years.
No one expected them to trade Cat right after coming to the Western Conference Finals, bro. No one did.
Oh yeah, man. Everybody thought that.
Did you feel like they were going to trade Cat right after that?
I think we did. I think we did talk about that, and I said that was one of their options that they should have did in the offseason. That they had to choose between Gobert and Cat.
Not even that. Look, I'm gonna tell you like this. Naz Reid made Cat expendable. At the end of that Western Conference Finals, who was playing the big minutes down the stretch? It wasn't Cat. If he was so valuable to that roster, he would have played in those minutes. When I saw Naz Reid step up, when I saw that the way that the rest of everybody on that squad was stepping up, plus the fact that they wanted Cat to be the man. Years ago, when he was a rookie, second-year player in the league, you know, they always give those anonymous surveys in the league. If you had a franchise, who would you start it with? Cat was consensus, always number one or number two on all of those surveys, until it got to the point where it was like, oh, okay, in that 3 to 5 windows, since you want to call out my theories, we saw what he was. Defensive liability. Not because he doesn't have the ability to play, it's because mentally he's not there. He's not that guy. We know what that is. We know that he'd rather settle for a 3-point shot versus take the little dude down low. We know that he has shortcomings and he was never the guy. Wiggins was never the guy. Zach LaVine was never their guy. But now they have their guy. They went and got a defensive guy and he don't mesh with Cat like that. Cat never, they shouldn't have lost against the Dallas Mavericks, and Cat was the difference.
All I'm saying is this. It was a shock that everybody that Cat got traded.
Only to you.
It was only you.
I'm not going to say everybody. It was a shock to a lot of people that Cat got traded at the time that he got traded. And also, this is my theory, that the Thunder are building around outside of, like, they're willing. Eventually, I think the Thunder's core is going to be Chet and whatever else they got. I don't think the core is essentially with SGA.
No, sir.
But that's my feeling. But the question was about the Boston Celtics. And yes, I do think they are still a favorite, even though my Knicks made a trade. They still got to get their chemistry issues right, which is what you saw in game one. Actually, even in game one, they shot over 50%, I think, from the field. It was just the Celtics were just hot from three. They were just trying to break that record and shit like that. So it's a one-off game. I don't really give a fuck. We're in the same division, so we'll see them again. But I think the way they played and balled out, it shows that it's interesting that the champs feel disrespected. They're the one team that's like, they can actually say the champs are like underrated or disrespected, because no one gives a fuck about Tatum. People still probably question Jaylen Brown. And I think Joe Mazzulla is still like, again, people are kind of like, he had to win that title. I think if he didn't win that title, people would be like, oh, he's shitty. But the fact that he still won, people, I don't think they will give him that credit.
The thing at this point, Nick, is why. Like, at the end of the day, when you win it all and you win it in convincing fashion, like, let that's no longer the narrative, or it shouldn't be the narrative. You know, I don't know if this is a narrative of your own or one that you're seeing online. Honestly, I have not been watching the media coverage of the NBA, so all of my takes are completely my own. Here's the thing with the Boston Celtics. I don't think that they're disrespected, and if they are, they don't need to be. Jason Tatum was disrespected enough during USA Basketball, and now he's going to go on a tear. So thank you, Steve Kerr, for unleashing the light-skinned beast that is Jason Tatum. Because the way he's playing, he's just literally playing lights out. You know, obviously, he got to play like that for the rest of the season. It's a long season. We're barely a week into the season just now. Kristaps is going to be a big part of them being able to repeat. Not saying that they have to rely on him, but he just makes them unguardable. They're damn near unguardable without him. But with him, it's like, what the hell do you do with him? The New York Knicks, to me, the issue is not talent. The issue is not even chemistry, in my opinion. The issue, which I've said already for a very long time, is Tom Thibodeau. And not because Tom Thibodeau is a bad coach. Tom Thibodeau is a rebuilder. Tom Thibodeau is a foundation layer. Tom Thibodeau is not a championship coach. Tom Thibodeau is the difference between Darvin Ham and J.J. Redick. And I hope we get into
that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that.
I'll break that down.
Come on.
No, I'm doing that. What do you mean? Come on, Nick.
J.J. Redick? How many games he got, Q? How many games he got on his belt, Q?
Pipe down, Nick, first of all, you don't know how to analyze basketball. Your takes is atrocious. And I could break it down. And it's very apparent and very simple why what JJ is doing is working versus what Darvin Ham was doing. What Darvin Ham is doing is what Tom Thibodeau does. He just happens to be a better defensive coach, which he expects way more out of his squad, and he gets it out of them. To the extent that he plays guys too much and they get hurt. That's his MO. We've seen it. The issue with this squad, Nick, is that they are now an offensive team. They don't have no grit, very much so like the Phoenix Suns. Who's their grit guy? They got rid of them guys. Hartenstein's gone. DiVincenzo's gone. The only grit guy who's the big man that always get hurt? That's Mitchell super Robinson. Athletic. Mitchell Robinson. How many grit guys do they still have left on Josh that
Hart.
Roster?
Josh Hart's still grit. Mikal Bridges is arguably still grit.
Mikal Bridges ain't grit.
OG Anunoby is a grit guy.
Oh, I give you that. OG's a grit guy.
They got some new people on there that I'm not going to mention now because you can be like, who the fuck is them? But they're okay. The grit guy.
Yeah, who the hell are they? But either way, the way that this team is now constructed with Mikal, the lefty Brun, you know what I'm saying? Cat now. You have to be able to have a more of a motion, easier buckets. You watch how they play pick and roll, cat spot. Like, bro, that is not going to go far in the NBA today. It's just not. These guys are too talented to waste them. Hey, you should go chill in this corner. There's no weak side movement. They're going to get shut down by a team like Boston, bro. It's not even going to be close.
I'm not going. I told you when the trade happened, or I said it on here, when the trade happened, I was like, this is Tom Thibodeau's last year to prove that he could do something with the squad. If he can't, then he can move on. My thing is, you over here talking about Darvin Ham and J.J. Redick. Your son is older than J.J. Redick's coaching career. You know what I'm saying? So, let's keep it a beam. Like he hasn't done shit yet. Darvin Ham went to Western Conference.
He's done a lot. He's done a lot. LeBron has taken every rookie head coach to the finals. So, thank LeBron for Frank.
So, we'll get to the Lakers. We'll get to the Lakers next. I'm just making sure we
keep it mild-mannered when we talk about J.J.
Yeah. Now, we going to keep it a beam like you like.
What do you think about the Celtics?
It's too early for me to really give an assessment on anybody. I can get first impressions. They look good, but I mean, 3 games into an NBA season is like asking me like 3 days into a semester at school. Like so much can go wrong, bro. So I don't know, but I mean, Jason Tatum looks good right now. They look like they still have the same tenacity on defense. Joe Mazzulla is a fucking psychopath, so. I like their continuity, at least. I think my answers have been given to me on that end with the coaching staff. No questions there anymore. It's just going to come down to, are they going to keep up this tough guy shit for a whole year? I still believe that they got a lot of easy breaks with their ring. And I think that they did handily beat the Mavericks, so that's not the question. But their path to the finals was very little resistance, dude. Like, you know, Donovan Mitchell sitting out games. The Knicks were on their last legs against the Pacers. Halliburton sat out a game or two in that series.
Yeah, very Warriors-esque. Remember the Warriors kind of got some benefits when they got
they
their
did,
first one.
For sure. But it's the difference that I see with the Warriors is that the Warriors were really little. They were like that. Throughout the whole years that they were like playing.
Here's the disrespect this is why people, you asking why he being disrespected. It's niggas like you who say that for real.
I mean, I believe in Steph Curry more than Jason Tatum. If that's disrespectful to Jason Tatum, I guess that's disrespect. But it's like,
On his first ring,
I've seen the Warriors do it without having all the help of every team they've beaten on the way to the finals, somebody key got hurt. There's been a couple injuries here and there for sure, but I don't believe that it's been every single time Steph has won a ring that, oh man.
No, they just had to go get KD.
I mean, for sure. I mean, but shit, no one's. I mean, they went and got Porzingis, and they went and got Derek White, and all these people that they're talking about are superstars now and stars.
They drafted Derek White.
I mean, no, they didn't. Spurs did, but
Derek White.
Yeah, Derek White was on the Spurs. He was in the G League too. So they signed these guys, and they made really good signings. And for me, as a Sixers fan, I'm a little. I'm gonna let some hate out. I don't respect Jason Tatum the way other people do, because I've never seen a superstar be as coddled as Jason Tatum with his infrastructural, like, just they've given him everything. Like, he's had Kemba Walker, he's had Gordon Hayward, he's had Kyrie Irving, he's had multiple stars from the time he stepped on a court. So I compare that to what they've put around Joel Embiid and JJ Redick and Tobias Harris. It's not even comparative, and people have way more expectations for Joel Embiid than they will ever have for Jason Tatum. And I feel like the only reason Jason Tatum is looked at like this guy is because Joel Embiid's organization has been failing him until he's 30 years old now, and they finally found a way to get a Maxie and a Paul George. So those Celtics look good, though.
And now it's too late.
So you're going against Jason Tatum because his organization did right by him.
I'm not going against him. I'm definitely knocking him, though. I'm definitely going to knock him in the grand scheme. No, I'm not going against him in the fact that he doesn't have skill. I'm knocking him for the fact of the grand scheme of the league. Like, I don't think he's like that. I've seen games last year where Jason Tatum was like the fourth best player on that team, and they won handily. Joel Embiid can't do any of that. He could never. Joel Embiid cannot be the fourth best player on the Sixers at any time in his tenure, and they go to a fucking finals. There were games in the finals where I forgot Jason Tatum was even on that team. It was Jaylen Brown, Derek White, Porzingis smacking shit. And Jason Tatum was, oh shit, doing fadeaway. Like, come on, bro. Like, he's not even needed in some of those games. So they're stacked. And that's why I give them those knocks of like, yeah, they look good. And let's see if they can keep it up.
That's that reason he just said is the reason why they're the favorites to me. Because if you can say that the best player can be forgotten at times, that means.
You're talking about Jaylen Brown.
That's a debate. You know, that's a reason for.
I don't think it should be a debate with anybody, though. I think Jaylen Brown is clearly their best player. He's definitely their alpha team.
He got the awards to show for it, at least.
Like,
that doesn't mean that you're a better player.
If I was the Sixers and I could get one player off the team, I'm getting Jaylen Brown over Jason Tatum, personally.
I mean, I feel the same way, but I mean, of course, people are going to be like, that's going against the grain.
So if the Knicks could trade for one of them, then you're getting.
I'm definitely taking Jay Brown because he plays. I like how he plays defense.
Yeah, dog.
I like his athleticism. He's more clutch to me than Tatum. So
Tatum is cool, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's a really cool player. Like, I fuck with his game when he's going to the basket. I just don't see. I don't see top five player in the NBA if that's what people
tripping.
Think. Tripping. Definitely not top five.
Hey, get your list ready because it's top 10 players.
He came to sniff a top five for me. It's crazy.
This man might – you might have to cut his whole camp. You might have to just cut him off the broadcast, bro. Go chill with Spike, bro, because you sounded crazy as hell, Q. You too,
man. Jason Tatum is a top five player in the NBA. He's not even better than SGA.
Y'all tripping. Y'all tripping.
He's not, bro. We're not going to go down the list, but, bro, just name them, like, Jokic, Giannis. Like, wait, what are we talking about? That's probably two players better than him right now. Luka.
Tripping.
Like, what? Anthony Edwards already did more.
Tripping. Anthony Edwards has not done more than Jason Tatum in this league.
Coming in hot, bro.
Give Anthony Edwards, Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward, Al Horford, Aaron Baines. Name the fucking Terry Rozier, Marcus Smart. Like, stop it, dude. It's fucking ridiculous.
That's the reason why I believe they are the favorite, because it's just like
they're really deep.
you they're like they got a whole second starting five on their bench.
They're super deep, bro.
And on top of that, it's like they have the continuity, they got the experience. Like they've been going to Eastern Conference Finals since they damn near were rookies. So it's like I don't see like you can't really make another case outside of anybody but Denver, but then Denver lost so much. Not only from
Denver, not there no more.
Yeah, they lost their soul, they bench. Like ever since the coach said D Brown ain't going nowhere, they ain't been going nowhere.
Yeah. The only knock on Tatum, the biggest knock on Tatum for me is when he tried to text Kobe. Other than that, that was rough for me.
I'm fucking weak.
All right. There's that. Moving on, let's get to this Lakers, man. You guys kind of started with it a little bit. The Lakers defeated the Minnesota Timberwolves. I see people shitting on Ant in the comments section. So I guess he made it now because Ant gets hate. But the highlight of the evening, man, was about Bron and Bronny taking the court together as a duo. Was this an instantly iconic NBA moment for anyone? Okay.
Has to be, because it's a first time ever. And it's something that we probably won't see again. So to me, this is something that, you know, we got to cherish. Whether how high you hold that in your regard, to me, is iconic as it is, I'm not like, this is not something that I'm going to tell like my son about. Like, oh, you know, you miss LeBron and nah. It's iconic, but it ain't important. I know that sounds like a fucking oxymoron and a half, but it is what it is. You know, the only way it's important is if Bronny becomes something nice in the league. So it's not important. It's iconic because it's never been done. But that's what I'm saying, Shelton. You know what I'm saying? It's all on Bronny. The reason why the Griffies are a story and why it's important is because Ken Griffey was that guy. He's better than his dad. That's why it's important. But for Bronny and Bron, nah, man. It's not important. But it's definitely iconic because it's never happened before.
Yeah, this for me was like a make-a-wish type situation because Bronny ain't have no business on that court. When I looked at that, you know, you mentioned the Griffies, them taking that picture with them was very symbolic for me because I recall the Griffies playing in the same outfield and both those guys were ball players. They were both professionals. This one, I can't say the same. This one was more so, which I watched Bronny in college and I saw him play on a team where he was, what, third, fourth best on that team. So
if that,
you're right. So to tell me that he deserves to be in the NBA and to be playing at that level, to me, that's just, I mean, I appreciate what Bron did, showing the power that he has, and a black man having that type of power. Okay, great. But to be honest, he did not belong on that court. And, you know, you got people on the bench. I saw a meme talking about Cam Reddish watching Bronny going to game before him. I would have been thinking the same thing if I was one of those vets. Like, man, what in the world is going on? And luckily, and to go in as early as they did, what JJ was doing was getting that out of the way. We ain't going to be sitting there talking about this and worrying about this forever. Let's just put that man in the game for a couple minutes, get him his little bit of burn, make this moment happen, and now it's over. So I understand why they did what they did. I get it. But, nah, it's not something I would talk about. Like I said, it's not something I would talk to my kids about. It's cool that Bron is still here. But other than that, that's the end of it.
I get what FIFO is saying. It's important just from those snapshots. You could have a portrait of it as far as if you're a true basketball fan or LeBron James supporter. But it just seems like that's what I was asking in the chat. I know we talked about this before, but I it really didn't hit me until I watched it. And I was like, bro, it feels like he forced his son to accelerate his time in college, accelerate his development, just so he can say, I got this one up on Jordan. You know what I'm saying? Like it seems like he's.
Look, Bron been talking about this for years. Like, this is his dream.
Bron's been talking about his legacy for years. I agree with you, and he's very intentional about his legacy. That's why he went all out to get the most.
Why are we mentioning Jordan though? No. What do you mean? Hold on.
You gonna let me finish? You gonna keep interrupting me? You gonna let me finish?
No, I am gonna keep interrupting you because now you sound like Conspiracy Ken. Like, bro. Like, first of all, LeBron has been the youngest to every scoring milestone. That's not because he was trying to do it. We all said that he's a pass first guy. This notion that he's tried, like, so he's not supposed to try. He's not supposed to be great. If he has greatness within him,
you're making extreme accusations. I ain't say nothing.
You're the one that brought Jordan into this whole thing.
I was saying that as a second point. My first point was that he just wanted to have this moment.
It should be no point
to add on to his legacy. And it's something that he could say that Jordan ain't do. Just like Jordan ain't got the scoring ain't title. Just like Jordan ain't won three titles. Just like Jordan ain't won a title for three different franchises, including the a historic one like the Lakers. Like, there's things that people are making the case, and LeBron obviously is a media darling, so he's aware of all these cases that are trying to be made.
People are using this as a checkbox against Jordan.
Yes, because it goes with his longevity as far as like being in the league for so long to be as dominant and relevant long enough for us to be like, not only is he still playing at this level, he was playing so long that his son could even get into the league.
I think that hardcore LeBron fans definitely do that. I've seen that. I don't think that normal people do that, but like definitely like hardcore, like niggas who got like LeBron plushies and shit at home. Like they like, oh yeah, no, Jordan would never play with his son. His son's a cokehead, blah, blah, blah. LeBron is playing with his son. Like that's what they're making jokes and memes out of it. They have like, you know, side by sides of Marcus Jordan doing bumps on the fucking boat. Wow. And then they got Bronny in the league. So I get it, but it's like
type of bump.
Yeah, man, it's stupid. So to me, it's like it is a stat for LeBron. I could care less though. Like I really don't care. Until Bronny James shows me that he is an average NBA player, average NBA talent, it just looks like you brought your son to work, and that's cool. But I don't have to care about that.
That's my whole point, FIFO. Is like everybody and their mama has been telling Bron for years, Bronny ain't it. he ain't gonna be that type of dude. And LeBron's like, nah, I want him to be here while I'm still here. And it's like, okay, well, like how long do you want him to wait for that? Because like he still need to develop. He's like, I don't give a damn about all that. I want him to be here as soon as he can, as soon as he's eligible. And that's where we are now.
Yeah, and it's done. It's definitely, I mean, it's historic. You know, so I think it'll be recognized for that. I think for me, you know, this is something we've been talking about for two, three number of years. Like we were talking about on this program that LeBron and Bronny's going to play together on the court and kind of outlining this before it even hit mainstream media. By the time it got to mainstream media, it was like, we don't even want to, I know I didn't even want to talk about it anymore because we had the conversation. Yeah. So, because it was definitely a given. So for us and for other people, it was expected, and we were just waiting for it to happen, and it's done. I think for people outside of us, for casual fans, for people that don't follow the sport, this was a moment for them to see that happen, to see LeBron James, widely recognized name, a mega superstar that people know, play on the court with his son. This was a moment for them. And they thought it was cool. But for people that follow sports and stuff like that, it was like, okay, it finally happened. He actually did it. Cool. And now let's move on. He's going to go back to the G League. So it's not like they hyped up. They couldn't do it. But I think that everything was kept real about Bronny. People were saying he shouldn't be in the league. People were saying he's G League. People were saying he probably not even G League. Everybody knew his level of talent. And what he could or could not do, more on the side of could not do. But this wasn't about that. It was about him stepping on the court with his dad. And that's it, period. You know, nobody, and that's why his ass is going to bed down to the G League, because mission is accomplished. And, you know, it's over and done with. And, you know, we can get back to you know, trying to win titles. At least they can. And everybody else can get back to what matters. And Bronny's going to be gone. And, you know, it's over and done with. So we can get back to regular scheduled programming. Like Embiid not playing in back-to-back games and Kawhi Leonard not playing at all. The Los Angeles Clippers and Philadelphia 76ers have been receiving some backlash over their star players not committed to playing back-to-back games. Is this an isolated issue in the NBA, or is this a sign of what's to come, given how much power superstars have in the sport? Q, I will start with you, since your guy is one of the ones that is under investigation.
He came out early.
He's like,
"I'm not doing it." He said,
"What we not finna do?" I'm not doing it. Yeah, I mean, shit, man. I mean, I support it. I mean, I support, like, if he doesn't need to do that, like, don't do it. I've been saying that. I think we should honestly rest Joel to like Thanksgiving, damn near, because I'm tired of Joel. Like, October don't really mean shit, bro. Like, you start gelling really towards Christmas break. October and November are just kind of just there. You know, especially for young guys to get their stats and make their name. You see guys like Paolo Banchero who just went for 50 tonight. So that's what these nights are for. And it's really just to put on a scoring exhibition. Like when Embiid had the 70-plus last year, that was in, I think it was in November, if I'm not mistaken. And then he was hurt immediately, like a week after. So the rest Joel to like damn near Christmas is what I want. Is it a trend? I don't think it's going to become too much of a trend. I think certain guys who have injuries will do it because it's just, I think the season and the product is way too long and it's way too just monotonous, dude. Like 82 games, people don't even watch 82 games. People watch a good like 45 games. The most hardcore NBA fans I know will watch 40 games throughout the year, or they'll just flip back to, you know what I'm saying, like NBA League Pass and watch a couple games here and there. No one even has time to watch all these games. So I've been advocating that they need to lower the season down to like 68, 60 some games, because it's just ridiculous. But Kawhi is a whole different story. Everyone is so against bringing the league down in terms of like, oh, we have to keep it at 82. Why? This shit not in the Bible. This shit not in the Quran. Like, whatever, do we have to hold this at 82 two games? What? Because Jordan played 82 two games? It's stupid. It's just like every league is valuable. I'm just giving an arbitrary number. I'm saying that they have to lower it.
But what I'm saying is, if niggas is too soft to play 82, then the niggas is too soft to play 82.
It's not about that. We gotta stop doing that.
We knew that Embiid was made out of tissue paper before he even got to the NBA. And Kawhi, ever since that one injury against the Warriors, that ankle injury, we know that he hasn't wanted to play. It wasn't even that one. I'm sorry. But whatever injury he had when the big three was still there and he was ingratiating himself as the guy and Manu and everybody was pushing him to play, he ain't want to play. We know, look, at the end of the day, Ken, your question was, is this a trend or is this nothing? I think this is nothing. I love the fact that they tied the yearly awards, which is also tied to their money, to how many games that they play. Now that that's tied to your money, guess what? Dudes is going to play as many games as they possibly can, especially the youngins.
Do you watch 82 games of NBA?
I watch more than 82 games of NBA.
You do not watch 82 games of one team, bro. Stop. Like, that's a goddamn lie. Like, y'all be lying, bro. That's a lie.
You said, do I watch 82 games? I watch more than 82 games, but not of one team. But totally, in the course of a season, I watched more than 82.
You realize how many hours is 82 games, bro?
I know.
I know for an absolute fact you don't watch 82 games.
No one watches 82 fucking games. Even the players don't watch 82 games, and they play in 82 games. The fuck, bro? Like, come on now. And that's what I'm saying. Okay. Like, and Kawhi's injury is a whole different story. Like, they're talking about his trainer suing the Clippers because apparently he was supposed to have a 2-year onboarding window from his last injury, and they keep like whatever. They must have muddled some numbers or whatever.
You talking about the same Kawhi that wanted to go play USA basketball, right? That Kawhi.
Come on, until man. I mean, until he realized he's gonna blow.
The Clippers made that call, bro. If it wasn't for the Clippers, he would have been on that squad. What are we talking about, man? Speculation. Okay, speculation. Not everything speculation. At the end of the day, look, Q, this is the reason why I have an issue with lowering the number. I have an issue with lowering the number because at the end of the day, this is what the league has always been. The baseball hasn't lowered their games. Football has increased their games. No other major sport has lowered their games.
Because there's demand to increase it. There's no demand to increase the games. And niggas don't even want this shit no more. Like, who's watching?
Nobody's increasing the NBA. Nobody's increasing.
Wants it to increase. Because the NFL product is too... People want more games because the product is so
cute.
It's so good.
But at the end of the day, if a player cannot manage 82 games, then they can't manage 82 games, which is fine.
The majority of these men cannot manage 82 games. They're getting through the season with wraps on their legs, intensive therapy, drugs, all kind of shit, just so we can do what? Satisfy some arbitrary number versus streamline. The reason why the NFL is not exclusive of a product is because it's so action-packed in that small window of time. So 82 games across a season. Zion Williamson can't even make it through a whole season. He's like 26.
Okay, so then you know what? You know what we call those players? We call them bust.
that's the problem.
You can't make it.
That's the problem.
Let's not lower the bar because you
can't. We're not lowering the bar. We're maximizing talent. We're maximizing product here.
Maximize your talent to play 82 games.
82 games? Why? Because Michael Jordan played 82 games? That doesn't do anything for anybody.
That's the bar. Why do you want to lower the bar?
Because no one wants to watch these games. People want to lower the product to maximize the entertainment value. No one wants to play 82 games.
Lowering the number of games doesn't maximize the entertainment value.
It really does, though. People can't make it through a whole season. If Kawhi got wraps on his legs, If Luka Doncic can barely get through the season,
if Kawhi was playing at the Y, he would have wraps on his legs, bro. This dude is made out of tissue paper.
Sure, but we're talking about 82. Like, bro, we're talking about almost 100 games where I'm gonna use your logic against you. You said that people are more skilled now, so if people are faster, more skilled, Zion Williamson should not be able to move the way he moves. Joel Embiid should not be able to move the way he moves. These people are like. Are biological marvels, and you're telling me that 82 games of going up and down the court on the hardwood, jumping out of the gym, people catching lobs, all this shit, 82 games of that is maximizing your talent pool? No, you're just stressing your talent pool.
You got Bill Cartwright playing with Michael Jordan 82 games.
Of course Mike looks great.
The NBA isn't the only league in the world. They can go play overseas if they can't handle it. It's as simple as that.
Hold on, let me say this. Go ask Dwight.
He been out
that's
there.
That's a terrible argument. Dwight was aged out.
NBA play 82. What's the problem? Play 82.
Dwight was aged out. That has nothing to do with his talent. That has nothing to do. It's just his age.
How much money they get paid, bro? Do you know how much money they get
paid? That don't mean much to me. I'm talking about the entertainment value. I'm not watching 82 fucking games. Do you know why they are able to pay them that?
Because you are not riding home
on a Tuesday night to watch Orlando versus Atlanta. No one's doing that, bro. No one's doing that. You're not riding home. Man, I can't wait to go watch the Wizards versus the fucking Magic.
But you know why you get league pass? So that way you can watch the replay. So that way you can watch the replay.
This is all about advertising, you sound crazy right now.
We're just trying to satisfy. Where does the money come from?
We're just trying to satisfy Coca-Cola and fucking Pepsi. That's all this is. And that's the reason why these players put up with it because they want more money. And that's fine. Exactly. But I'm saying from a fan perspective, no one gives a fuck about these games
What you got, bro?
I'm slightly in agreement with both of you all because there is a point to be made as far as what Q was saying. Like, I get it. Like, the NFL, when it keeps it tight to even though they've increased in their games to 18 weeks or possibly potentially 20 weeks down the line, like, it's still like if you miss 2 to 3 weeks, you miss damn near a chunk of the season, right? But with the NBA, it's like you can miss damn near all of October going into Thanksgiving and catch up with everything else because you still got hella games left. So I do think that maybe starting the season mid-November, like cutting it, there doesn't need to be 82, but I think it should be maybe between high 60s, low 70s. Because the first month and the last month of basketball, don't nobody really give a fuck. The playoff season is already pretty much set. We're just trying to really get straight to the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing. Like, I'm fine with finding creative ways to minimize the season if we can maximize the product that we get in the playoffs, because that's all we really care about. That's the whole reason why Joel Embiid is saying, I don't want to play back-to-back, because clearly this regular season don't mean shit. Because once we get into playoffs, that's how y'all judging me now based off of the playoffs. Y'all not judging me off the regular season.
And I just want my stars to be healthy at that time. I want them all to be able to play. That's the biggest point to it. I'm a purist like you too, FIFO, because I like the fact of comparing eras and times, and it needs to be exact in my brain a little bit. But at the same time, I'm understanding that that's not just not going, just like the NFL going from 16 to 17 games. And then like we talk about all the time, they are going to step it up more. I understand that change is inevitable. And I'm with you, Nick, maybe 70 games is a feasible amount. I wouldn't want to go down to 56 cube, but still I would want to go down a little bit.
Yeah, I'm just saying a number. Yeah. Like, I'm not saying 82 is like obscene, bro. It's just obscene. You got Michael Jordan playing on teams with guys like Bill Cartwright, and then wondering why like these guys stand out amongst everybody. And you got Charles Barkley playing on teams with white dudes in grocery stores when everybody in this league now has a bag. Everybody in this league now is like a content creator showing off their handles online, showing off their amazing abilities. And we think that for 82 games that everybody is going to stay healthy. These dudes are like you saw how the Knicks were torn apart by the end of the playoffs. The Halliburton missed games. Donovan Mitchell's missing games in the playoffs because
that's part of Thibodeau.
I mean, Thibodeau's not coaching the Cavaliers, and Thibodeau's not coaching the Miami Heat. So it's like, it's more opportunities for people to get hurt. It's more opportunities for attrition to set in.
Yeah,
I think that change of Giannis, like Dame, all these people are getting hurt, and then we're talking about, oh yeah, the Celtics are the best team in the league. It's like, no, but I want to see it for real. I want to streamline and maximize this content, maximize this entertainment as a fan. That's what I want to see. I understand from the business side. If I'm on the business side, we need to add 8 more games. Let's just make it a 90 game season. That's what it makes sense from the business side. But I don't give a fuck about the business side. If we're talking about the entertainment as fans, I want to see a maximized product. And I feel like that's what we're on the way to in the future. But to answer your question, Ken, Kawhi's a whole different story. He's been hurt for a long time. Joel Embiid, they've been trying to plan this out for the last like year because they're tired of him getting hurt.
I think that they will lower the games once they figure out the money.
Yeah.
I think what's going to happen is I think the generation behind us, maybe behind UQ, will probably cause that to happen because they don't give a damn about the number of games that's being played. It probably started with next the players, generation.
The players and don't. You see them,
yeah, true.
Players too. Don't care.
Yeah, so because of that, there may be pressure, which is why you see them adding tournaments and finding ways to manufacture games or excitement to offset that. Because then with these tournaments, they can offset revenue by selling sponsorships and stuff like that. I think you'll see it change eventually. That is a standard. 82 games was a standard built on some number that they pulled out of their ass back in the day. I don't know where they came up with that number from, but they've been talking about it in baseball, but baseball has such a purist thing to it that it seems like they're fixed right now. But yeah, I think the young generation, they're going to be like, all right, man, I just want to get to the playoffs. So find different ways to give me the product in a shorter condensed version and get me to what I want to see.
That's last thing. That's what we're at now with all these guys worried about the CBA with like the second apron, the first apron. That's why they traded Cat, because the Minnesota Timberwolves don't want to keep paying all this money. And I feel like that's a sign of where we're headed in the future, especially with the new CBA deal that CJ McCollum and them headed. A lot of players hate that CBA because it kind of gutted the per se NBA middle class, quote unquote, where you could get, you know what I'm saying, 4 years, 80 some million dollars just 3 years ago, even almost 2 years ago. But if you see in this last NBA offseason, it was very much so top heavy guys getting their extensions and then just kind of veteran minimums, 1 or 2 year deals here and there. That's going to be like the way that I was telling y'all about the NFL and how they're going to counteract that shit, that's what they're doing in the NBA now. And I feel like as that becomes a thing, people are going to want to be like, well, why are we paying all these games for if we're only giving out either high-level contracts or bottom-feeding contracts?
So the NBA is expanding, and this is something, Ken, I talked about years ago before we even had cameras and all of that. We was on Blog Talk Radio, where the talent of basketball talent is growing so much where they're going to need to expand the league. We're already getting two teams. Right. And I could see that moving even into more teams in the future. What cities? I don't know. But with that being said, the talent is going to be more dispersed. And that's essentially what the NBA wants. So they only want you to have two max guys and then a whole bunch of middle to low level. And I'm talking from a money standpoint. I'm not talking from a talent standpoint. From a money standpoint, they don't want you to have more than two max guys and then everybody else middle to low money. You know what I'm saying? With when you expand more teams, that expands the talent that's on those teams, and that's essentially what's going to happen. But I think it happens through expansion of the league itself.
Yeah, and Ugliest Gnome put this in the chat. He said when the NBA had 12 teams, each conference rival was played 8 times, and each interconference team was played 7 times, which resulted in 82 games. I think it's appropriate in 2024 to revisit that number and that conversation and figure out a way to change it for the sake of player health. And you're seeing a lot more emphasis on that now. Kawhi breaking down, Kawhi leaving the Spurs because of what happened. Embiid's like, nah, I'm good. And he's not the only one. Let's not forget that Greg Popovich started the whole load management thing too, by the way.
But Ken, do you really feel with Embiid, it's because of 82 games that he hasn't been able to be healthy, or it's because before he even stepped foot on the NBA, he was injured and we knew that he was going to have a history of injuries?
I can answer that by asking. Well, I think he just has a history of being injury prone, but if you average out how many games he's played over the course of his NBA season, and if the games were lowered to that number, you could probably have him be playing in all of those games.
So what you're saying is that we should take one of the weakest guys in terms of health and stamina. We should take one of the weakest guys and then set the standard for the rest of the league by the weakest guy.
No, I'm not saying that, but I was just saying that using Embiid as an example, I think with a lower number of games, you probably would see Embiid play more games. Also, it would create a more of a sense of urgency with the players and the teams because the games matter more than they did before.
People can't have it both ways where people want the All-Star game to be so competitive and, man, what happened to the old days and all that shit, right? Okay, cool. But these dudes are getting Twitch money. These dudes are getting money to do albums now that Shaq and them used to get, right? Mm-hmm. You're seeing extracurriculars paying for people's Ferraris and houses that the NBA contract is not even touching that money yet. People are putting that money on your side. So these guys have so many more options out here in the free market, quote unquote, that it makes playing basketball in October, November, and December just kind of like, yeah, let's just coast along. Yeah, I'm going to try to get 80 tonight. I'm going to try to get 60. That's why you had Luka get 70. Then you had Embiid get 70. And it's like those games don't fucking matter. Like, okay, cool. Like, we know that these dudes – and the defense is awful. Luka's going to the cup. These guys are not even playing defense. And then it's not just Embiid. It's not just Kawhi. I just gave you a list of all Eastern Conference people who went down. The entire Miami Heat team was done last year. The Knicks. Fucking Nick watched it. The Knicks were done by the time of game 6? And Brunson hurt his wrist and everything. So it's like, come on, bro. Like, the whole team was on a fucking stretcher. And then you get the Pacers. Halliburton is down. I think Siakam had an injury. Giannis, Dame Lillard. The entire Eastern Conference looked like a bomb hit them.
I don't think that's all or mainly due to the 82-game season. I don't think that's that.
I don't think that it helps. I think that it extension. But that's only one team, though. I just gave you four other teams in the East.
I got you.
Yeah, but Thibodeau's impact over 82 games is lessened if it's 62 games.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, if it's a streamline, that's just sick. Give me 62 games, and then give me a tournament. Give me, like, a tour. Like, get creative, bro. We don't have to play. Like, why? Like, why are we, like, why are we watching?
Next topic.
Why are we watching the Kings play the fucking Raptors? Like, who? Like, what is this? Like, what? So Coca-Cola can sell some advertisement? Like, that's cool, bro. But fuck, bro. Get creative. Make a mid-season tournament more fun. Everything ain't going to stay the same our entire lives. Like, we have to have some changes.
I guarantee you, if the money goes down with the less amount of games, the players will say, nah, stick with the 82. Guaranteed.
Nah, they'll find ways to – that's the business people, the owners and the businessmen. That's their job to find a way to keep the money the same. And they haven't figured that out yet, which is why it's staying at 82.
Which is why they're expanding. Which is why I think it's going to happen, because they're expanding to all these international markets. You got teams wanting to play. They're talking about having a EuroLeague versus NBA midseason. Like, these are the ways to do it, bro. Like,
they'll figure it out, bro.
Fam, this is not just me. I want the chat to know this is not just me. There are so many articles coming out from sports journalists talking about the product of the NBA. You all hate seeing just a three-point contest every night. You all just hate seeing teams trying to replicate Steph Curry's, greatness every night. If you want to see a change, then you have to pay attention to what the fans want. So if you want what the fans want, you got to meet me halfway, dog. Like,
that's why the first game with the Celtics and Knicks, bro, that was – if you, obviously outside of Boston and those who support the Celtics, that was an eyesore to watch. Like, just them just chucking up all those threes.
It's embarrassing, bro.
It was just like, bro, what, is this basketball? Like,
Well, that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah.
But Igwe sent a members chat. People said that you said to shut up and dribble by making them play 82 games. So
I'm fucking weak.
All right. Two more things and then we're out of here. But let's get into, like, looking ahead, man. Let's talk about our top 10 players in the NBA going into this 2024 NBA season. And then we'll pick our two teams going to the finals and who we have winning it all. So let's get into the top 10. How do you guys want to do this? Y'all want to just go ahead and list out the 10 one by one, or do our 10 through 5 and then 5 through 1?
Nah, 10 through 1. Everybody just go.
Okay. Q, you good over there with yours?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah.
Okay. Sure. All right. FIFA, should I go with Nick?
Go with FIFA, because he been itching to talk about basketball.
All right, so look, at number 10, give me Joel Embiid. At number 9, Anthony Edwards. At number 8, Kevin Durant. At number 7, Steph Curry. At number 6, LeBron. At number 5, Giannis. At number 4, Shea. At number 3, Luka. At number 2, Joker. At number 1, Jason Tatum.
Wow.
Oh, hell.
Oh, my God.
I go next. Wow.
Jason Tatum, I got number 1 in his own. I got to take some notes. Hold on. We got to go back to that.
We should have known because he said the light skin brigade is back.
That's the only reason.
He should have known.
Holy shit, dude.
Man, Jason Tatum, the top of the league,
is the best player in the NBA.
Wow. That's a world I don't want to live in.
You mean
that's
the guy who didn't get to play this summer at all? Like the bench, the guy. That
but you, but you watching him now, right?
Oh God, three games in. Good Lord,
not three games in.
Let's move on. We three games in.
They ain't even got out the bench yet.
Good Lord.
You know how people is. He already saying JJ the best head coach of the Lakers.
Yeah, oh God. He did.
The Nuggets going in.
He's better than Darvin Ham and he's better than Frank Vogel. That's what I said.
They are playing different, though. They are moving the ball better.
That floor is low. And let's go.
You don't know what's happening.
Sheldon, let's go.
I got you. All right, at 10, I got Ant-Man. At number 9, I got KD. At number 8, I got Joel Embiid. At 7, I got LeBron. 6, I got Steph. 5, I got Tatum, where he belongs. 4, I got SGA. 3, I got Giannis. 2, I got Luka. Luka, and 1, I got Joker.
All right. Nick, Q, I'll save you for last.
At number 10, I got Jaylen Brown. At number 9, I got LeBron James. At number 8, I got Joel Embiid. Number 7, I got Luka Doncic. Number 6, I got KD. Number 5, I got Anthony Edwards. 4, I got Jason Tatum. 3, I got Jalen Brunson. 2, I got Giannis Antetokounmpo. And number 1, I got Joker.
Nick, and y'all want to make fun of my list?
Hey, Brum Brun did something. That ain't nobody ever
is
did.
Nowhere near top 10, bro. You are smoking too, bro. Crack.
Brum Brun did something.
Like, it's the 80s.
Nobody, I ain't never seen nobody do what Brum Brun did last season.
Yes, you have.
Bro, yes, it was history. It was literally NBA history. No, NBA. It was NBA.
Kyrie, what you talking about?
They average
smoking that good crack.
They average 40. They average 40.
You said you had Luka at 7.
He's smoking that good crack.
He took his team to the finals. That's wild to me. Like, he was the best player. He was the best player on that team and took him to the finals. Okay.
Well, how you look in the finals, so?
All right. Let me go in.
Make it to the finals? Why your boy Brunson make it to the finals?
The Brunson team was hurt. He couldn't even.
Right. Oh, so now it's the team. Now it's the team. Okay.
He was hurt too. What are you talking about? He hurt his hand. That's what broke his streak.
You got a right hand. You got a right hand.
Oh, okay.
All right. Let me go ahead and get my list. Get this out the way. Number 10, I have KD. Number 9, I have Embiid. Number 8, I have Curry. This was a tough list to put together, y'all. I ain't gonna lie.
It was.
Yeah. Let me finish my list. Number 7, I got SGA. Number 6, I have Luka. Number 5, I have LeBron. Number 4, I have Jokic. Number 3, I have Tatum. Number 2, I have Giannis. And number 1, I have Ant-Man.
Wow.
All right.
Okay. I guess that's what we're going
to do. All right. Okay. It's crazy, man.
Wow. When you had explained in the middle of your list, I already knew what was coming.
Goodness gracious.
You know how you got that girl and ain't been, well, before y'all see her.
Goodness gracious, man.
Please go Q.
That's why I say Q for last, to bring balance to the force.
Wow. Okay. Number 10, I got Anthony Davis. Number 9, Anthony Edwards. Number 8, LeBron James. Number 7, SGA. Number 6, Jalen Brunson. Number 5, Steph. Number 4, Luka. 3, Giannis. 2, Embiid. 1, Jokic.
See, Q, the reason why I had Embiid so low is for the reason that you know, he put it out himself. And that's a team decision to play him every other, you know, to skip those other nights. But there's no way I can, in good faith, put him in my top 5 if he's not going to be available. Because the best ability is availability. I don't care how much talent he has. If he can't play, if he's going to miss, 15, 20 games off the rip, then I can't put him in my top 5. There's no way.
Yep.
I mean, I respect it. I respect it. This, I can't name like 7 more talented people in the NBA than Joel Embiid. That's just not something I'm willing to do.
I feel that. And that's it. I hate punishing people for that. But I felt like it's a little bit warranted this year. But then I look at the numbers.
You play like a 7'2" monster plays defense and offense, means that much to his team. Yeah, you can miss 20 games, bro. I'm good with that, bro. I'm good with that, bro. Like, yeah, everybody wants to, like, I'm so tired of this mentality of soft.
It's such a pacifist.
That's so soft and that's so, no, nigga, I'm trying to make money. I'm trying to win games. Like, bro, like all that Kobe mentality shit is over with, bro. Like, no one believes in that shit anymore. No one does that Mamba shit anymore. We're trying to,
this is what happens. See,
we trying to get money, bro. We in the money game and we trying to win. So if I gotta sit out 15 games to get this money and win, I'm gonna do that.
Say like, your top 5 one more time.
You hear that? Wait, hold on. You hear that? I'm gonna sit out to win. How? When you the best guy on the court?
Because y'all see it when I play. Y'all see it when I play. It like, what the fuck am I going to do? What, try to prove to some fans in the stands, yeah, nigga, I'm here, nigga, and I, now I'm hurt and I can't play the rest of the season? It's stupid. I'm going to play when it matters. And y'all, clearly, we only care about a lot of, not only we, but clearly a large percentage of people are hypocrites, because one minute it's, where your rings at? Where your postseason success at? Where your postseason success at? What we saw? And then when you miss out because one of your teammates runs into your knee on a fucking screen on a Tuesday night against the Hawks, now it's, man, he can't stay healthy. It's like, what do y'all want, bro? Y'all got to sit y'all politically correct ass down somewhere and pick a side.
Was Jaylen Brown on your list?
Yes.
Okay, what? Where? I thought I heard Jalen Brunson. What was he at, 10?
Brunson and Brown were on my list.
You heard Brunson.
I heard Brunson. I had Brunson at 6. I had Brunson at 6.
Yeah, you had Brunson at 6. I missed Brown. Where did Brown fall?
Brown was number 10.
Okay, so below Tatum.
Yes.
Way below Tatum.
Yes.
Okay.
I was saying, like I said, I'm going to give Jason Tatum his respect, but who I prefer is who I prefer. But the list my list is a commandment, right? It's not just me, my opinions. It's a list of who I believe.
But you said that Jason Tatum isn't the best player on his squad. Or did I imagine you saying that?
In my opinion, I prefer Jaylen Brown over Jason Tatum. But if we're talking
about, why is he not high on the list?
Because my list is not just about opinions, also about facts and objections. That's why I listed the people who I legit think are in that order.
Anthony now, Davis, he was on your list.
Yeah, number 10. I think that AD is still a defensive terror. He damn near should have won Defensive Player of the Year last year. And I just think that he means that much to that team on defense. And I think that him and LeBron are still viable for the best duo in the league, depending on who you ask. You know, ask 5 people, you'll get them. So, yeah, man, like AD is really underrated at this point in his career. Now he's put together 2 healthy seasons in a row, and I'm hoping that he can keep that together. I used to ding him for his health, so I'm hoping that stays this way. You know what I mean? I want to see him healthy on the floor.
He was 11 for me. Hey, but how can you ding him but not ding Embiid?
Because Embiid has done and means more to his franchise than AD means to the Lakers, in my opinion. He's the entire heart and soul of the Sixers. If the Sixers don't have Joel Embiid, they don't go anywhere. But if they don't have Anthony Davis, he might be able to squeak into a play-in spot.
Where was Luka on everybody's list?
Luka was number 4.
It was for me.
Everybody on my list is either the heart and soul of their team, the guy in some way, or if you take them off that team, the entire like thing comes crumbling down. And that's why I don't see how people can't have Jalen Brunson just off last season. Jalen Brunson meant more to his team than Jason Tatum meant to the Celtics. Anybody who watched basketball should be able to see that.
Tatum didn't make your list,
but he didn't make my list.
He didn't make my list. I don't see him as a top 10 player in the NBA. I don't think he's the best player on. He's not the best player on his team.
I can't go that far.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I can't go that far. He's top 10.
I think he's like 11th. He's like right there. He's like 11. He might be able to beat AD.
Wait. Oh, okay. You explained your reasoning, your logic for your list.
I will go through my list again.
No, there's no need. It was the Brunson over Tatum, but then I remember how you put together your list and the criteria for your list, which would explain why you have Brunson over Tatum. It's still wild as hell, but based on your criteria for where you have or why people made your list, I get it. This is one of those issues where I hate that my logic of how people explain stuff makes sense to me and I can't, but you know. I don't see
how we can say that the Celtics are the favorite because they're so deep and Tatum doesn't even need to play that good and then be like, man, he's damn, you're crazy if he's not top 5. That don't sound like the same guy to me. That if I don't care if you're even out there and you can win a ring,
I'm not even talking about top five, bro.
Yeah, you don't have to.
But then it's like, it's not, I don't think it's blasphemous that someone can think that there's 5 better players in the league based on what Tatum has done. especially based like what SGA has done as a guard, what Jalen Brunson means to those Knicks as a small guard doing what he did. It was historic. And I think that looking at what AD means on defense is more impactful than anything Tatum does on offense, in my personal opinion.
So you did a value pick. Like your list is based off value, not based off of greatness, right? Because, again, I'm not saying that Brunson isn't great, but he's more valuable than he is great. Like, Jason Tatum is more great than he is valuable to that squad.
I don't know how you define greatness. It depends on how you define greatness.
Well, I define greatness by a lot of different things, and Brunson has something that, you know, he can't get better at, which is height, right? Like, everybody that's on my list has a level of physicality that is undeniable. Joel Embiid, undeniable. Giannis, undeniable. LeBron, undeniable. Steph Curry, okay, I would say that's the one that doesn't have physicality. KD, 7-foot shooting guard, right? Jason Tatum, 6'8 shooting guard, basically. Shooting guard skills in that level of a body. SGA is a big-ass guard. Impacts the game on a physical level. You know, Jalen Brunson can't do that. You know what I'm saying? That's a level of greatness in the NBA that separates people. Love Brunson. More valuable to his squad than Jason Tatum is his squad. I don't disagree but he's not a better basketball player.
I don't know if I jive with that argument, because Allen Iverson to me is greater than guys who are bigger than him.
Yeah, I don't care about the last part.
But listen to what I said. Yeah, pause. Thank you on that. But listen to what I said. He impacts the game physically. AI impacted the game physically. Brunson doesn't.
Brunson knows I'm being the game physically. What does that mean? Physically?
Yes, he does.
Brunson. Yeah, he do. First of all, Brunson seeks more contact than Tatum ever did.
Absolutely.
Tatum has been grilled over and over. Yo, why are you fading away? Go to the basket. Go to the cup. Yeah. And then he finally went to the cup in the finals. Now everybody, he's the best player in the league now. Like, come on, bro, stop.
I can't
give him that.
Right. The biggest attribute we have for Brunson was his physicality and the fact that he drew contact on a lot of the plays, and he's stronger than most of the guards that he faces, regardless of height. He's one of the strongest guards in the league. Don't nobody want to see Brunson like that.
He's like a little small bull, bro. I'm not saying he's over here bowing people over, but bro, he seeks the contact. He plays hard. And I'm not saying that Tatum is not a talented player. I think he is the 11th best player in the league. And that's not crazy to me, because you look at the way that the Celtics are stacked up, they don't need Tatum to ball out like that for them to win. It's an additive plus if he gets 30. But if Tatum gives you 25 and, you know, 25 and 8, and Brown gives you 26 and 5, and Porzingis gives you 14 and 10, Horford gives you 8 and 8, but Derek White gives you 4 threes, Drew Holiday gives you 4 threes and get some steals, they can win the game. You don't need 45 from him. You need 45 from Brunson in some nights. You need 45 from Joel Embiid in some nights. You need, you know what I'm saying, 38 from SGA in some nights. You need 36 and 20 from LeBron James in some nights to come back. I don't see that necessity and value and greatness in Tatum, because it's never been asked of him.
LeBron showed up last night.
So Jalen Brunson, right? Because you guys brought up Allen Iverson, and they don't belong in the same conversation, but it is what it is. I'll use them as a comparison. Allen Iverson led the league in steals multiple years, right? I didn't look up Allen Iverson, but I know for a fact that he led the league in steals. And I also agreed that he had a level of physicality, right, where he impacted the game on a physical level. Just looking at Jalen Brunson, does anybody want to guess how many steals per game he averaged?
0.8.
You're very close, 0.9.
Oh.
So he didn't even get one. When I look at somebody at his position, De'Aaron Fox got 2. Trey Young got 1.3. That's a level of physicality.
Can I ask you a question? Would you take either one of those players over Jalen Brunson right now?
Yeah, but
I would maybe take De'Aaron Fox. Maybe.
That's asinine, bro. That's a flawed metric. That's a flawed metric, bro.
Steals is a flawed metric?
It is a flawed metric to prove that he doesn't play defense. Jalen Brunson.
Who said defense? Who said defense?
So I did not mention defense. With the steals,
I said physicality. There's a level of physicality. What do you mean? So you mean that, you mean you're gonna? This is not. You're not playing DB in the league. You're not just gonna luck up into a damn interception. Like you have to be physical to get steals.
How many steals does Steph Curry have? Did he average last season?
FIFO, you don't always have to like get a steal to pressure somebody into a steal. Your team concept can also be a your team concept can also not call for you to be aggressive because they need you to score. So why would they want Jalen Brunson to be, yo, we want you to go and dive on these? Like, no, bro, we need you to score 36.
The best players play both ways. Yes or no?
That's not always true. That's flawed, antiquated. That's antiquated shit, bro. That's antiquated.
So the best players don't play offense and defense?
That's not always true. Some of the better defenders in the league who people would want for their teams. You know what I'm saying? Somebody can be an average offensive player.
The best player. The best defender was never considered the best player. And when that happens, we vault them. Like MJ. When MJ won the MVP, the scoring title, and the defensive player of the year, and the finals MVP. Like, that vaulted them. When LeBron is talked about in defensive player of the years, when you just talked about Anthony Davis being a defensive player of the year because he's also super efficient on offense, that vaults you. But we never talked about
Prime Derrick Rose was not a defensive terror. Like,
is Tatum a great defensive player?
He's a good defensive player.
He's a good defensive player. But to Prime Derrick Rose wasn't Steve Nash wasn't great on defense. Like, that don't mean like
okay. But was he the
Jason Kidd wasn't always good on offense? Like, come on now.
But he affected offense. He didn't have to score.
And that's what I'm saying. Jalen Brunson affects the offense. He's asked to score at a high volume.
I'm asking you, but what does he do defensively? What is the best player?
He plays within his team concept. I don't know what he's asked to do.
Top 10 when he doesn't affect both sides of the ball.
Steph Curry is a horrible defender. We've seen it on plenty of occasions.
Steph Curry is an average defender.
You've said
because he's the greatest shooter ever. He's the greatest shooter. We've never seen nothing like it, bro.
Was Luka in your top 10? Luka in your top 10?
Yeah, he don't play.
Okay, exactly. Luka, so what here's what I'm defense. Saying. The best players. You're talking to me with 1997 brain, and I need you to come to 2024. Because this is not Luka always true. It's like, bro it's like the finals.
If you're going that far, then I don't want to hear it.
Bro, you just brought up the fact that steals mean you're aggressive. That's like saying that you're not a good defensive big unless you get blocked.
A good defensive big should get blocks.
That's not always true, though. You can force blocks.
Name me a great defensive big that doesn't get blocks.
But there's been
name me one.
I will give you a scenario. When Hassan Whiteside was at his peak, and everyone thought that he could be a potential cornerstone for a franchise, he was averaging more blocks per game than Boogie Cousins, Joel Embiid, all these people. And he went back and forth with this guy on this NBA reporter on Twitter. He's like, man, what the fuck you mean? I don't play defense. I'm better than blah, blah, blah in blocks. That was his metric to talk about him being a better defensive player. He said, hey, do you realize that these people get less blocks than you, and yet somehow their teams have better defensive plus minus than you? Do you realize that there's more shots affected by the fact that they're not getting blocks, but the fact that they can switch out on the perimeter that you can't do? And there's other metrics to prove that they're better defenders. And when you're not open to that conversation, you just fall back on, well, there's this one metric that proves that I'm good at being this. And that's not always true. The same thing is Tibbs might not need Jalen Brunson to go get steals because you have OG Anunoby and Mikal Bridges and Josh Hart right beside you. Funnel them into the defensive set we're trying to get. We're trying to produce a steal on this side so you can get out in the break. Maybe they don't want him to be a straight up like Isaiah Thomas bulldog or a CP3 in Charlotte bulldog. And that's why Jalen Brunson is that valuable, because without him having to be this defensive terror, he plays within a concept. He's not food on defense, and he's getting these points.
To me, he sounds like a slightly bigger Isaiah Thomas. And I'm not talking about the Detroit Pistons.
That's so crazy. That's so crazy, people. That's
I'm just like saying, Isaiah, Isaiah, Isaiah Thomas took his team to the playoffs.
Nah, people, you watched him and you saw how he affected that team.
Come on, man.
There's no way you can knock him.
And I'm just saying, I don't believe Brunson's top 10. That's all I'm saying. That's my argument. Brunson is not top 10.
That's it. I respect that. That's not blasphemy. Same way it shouldn't be blasphemy to take.
Oh yeah, yeah. Shelton, you had him on. You had him on your list too. Okay, Brunson.
That's right. All I'm saying. No, nobody's been blasphemous. Shelton.
No,
except for Ken's number one.
I thought he was. Yeah. The only reason I left him out, it was just a tough list for me. It was tough all the way around, and I don't have no arguments for him being there. I'm just not going to knock him because he's not a defensive stalwart. That's not why I'm not knocking him for that. He was too great of a player for that. I built my list based off my projections for this season and who's going to do what. That's where my list came from.
Okay.
Me too.
All right. Well, let's get into final predictions. Tweets Open Doors want to know why we didn't have AD in the top 10.
I didn't have AD in the top 10.
He's right outside. Doors.
Like I said, he was right outside for me. He was number 11, and I wrestled back and forth with him and when MB said that him and Ant-Man was right there, all them guys were, and I thought about AD, but then I thought about the fact that that Lakers team just didn't do much. He played well and he played a full season, but they didn't have much to show for it for me.
He's top 15 to me.
Yeah, they didn't have much to show for his play.
But I think AD can jump this year though. I think he could jump into the top 10.
Yeah, I was looking at him, Embiid, because I had Embiid. It was AD, Embiid, and KD.
I was looking at Victor Wembanyama as far as potentially because that second half of the season.
He could take a leap. Him and Paolo could take a leap this year to me. I wouldn't be shocked if Paolo's in like my 12 to 10 range next year. I just went off last season and a little bit of projection for this season, but mostly like 80% what last year looked like. And then what I think should happen this year.
Yeah, AD balling early. What you got, Shelton?
No, I was just going to say my only problem with Wembanyama is the fact that his teammates are going to try to stop him again. If he's not allowed to take over that team, then he's not going to be able to make that leap.
Shelton, you know why I have a slight issue with that? It shouldn't be allowed. You know what I'm saying? I feel like whether it's Pop and his antiquated system or hierarchy, put the ball in his hand and stop trying to make him be Tim Duncan, because back to the basket is part of his game, but it ain't all his game. We saw the fucking logo three that he hit. We know that this man can sham God and pull up. Like, this man could do it all. So I don't know why it seems like, oh, let's put him in the post, let's work on. So to me, Victor just got to be like, hey, you know what? Screw everybody. Just give me the damn ball. Move the hell up out the way. So I don't know about the allow part. I think that he just needs to get a little bit more tough and a little bit more gritty and just tell people, just give me the ball, move.
All right. Shelton, who do you have going to the finals and winning?
Man, that's so tough. I actually have Boston. My Western Conference team, though, it ain't looking good, because at first I had the Nuggets. I was thinking that they were going to get back.
They're not ready.
That's not looking good. But I'm going to go out there on a limb and say OKC. Okay. And Boston winning it.
Ain't no goddamn limb.
Right. Well, Nick, who you got?
I got Boston, and this is going on a limb. I got Memphis. I think they are a sleeper in the West. I think people forgot how good Ja is. I think they drafted very well. They still got a really talented squad, and they play legit defense. So I think this is a comeback season for the Grizzlies.
Q, do you have yours?
Way too early prediction based on what everyone is looking like. Looks like it's going to be in the first week. Looks like it's going to be the Lakers and Celtics right now. I mean, but that subject could change.
Yeah, yeah, of course. That's exactly what I have. Lakers, Celtics.
Lakers.
And I got Lakers.
Do we have time to quickly touch on, because I see them clamoring for it in the chat. Do we quickly have time to touch on the JJ Redick? And like,
we can.
FIFA, go ahead and give yours real quick. And we'll talk on that.
I'm 100% with Shelton, man. OKC, Boston. I got Boston winning in six.
Shit, they gonna beat them boys in five if they play.
Tweet they over the door. Zach Edey is not good, bro.
Yes, he is. What you talking about?
He looks solid. He looks solid to me, bro.
Yeah, that's about it, bro.
Yeah, they don't need too much. Yeah, they don't need too much.
They're not getting anything. At best, you can't watch them. Yeah, he can't stay on the fucking court, bro. He's fouling out. He's playing under 20. Bro, it's no.
The game got to settle down.
He'll figure it out.
It's three games in.
Ken, he's playing with the best point guard today in the NBA. He's playing with the best point guard in the NBA.
Who's that?
Brunson don't play in Memphis.
All right, anyway, let's go. John Morant, best point guard. I'm giving him some time, but I thought he was going to be better than what I've seen so far. But whatever. You want to talk about the Lakers? Reddick, Q.
Yeah, I see people talking about it in the chat. I feel like it would be a good way to close out because to Phil's point earlier, the Lakers are using more motion. I've never seen the Lakers in all the years that LeBron has been there. There's been movement. There's been sets that actually make sense. There's been pin downs. There's been back screens. There's been pistol action. There's been weak side action, strong side action, DHOs to lobs, handoffs that are kicking out to the top of the key, like elevator door plays. It's like JJ Redick really looks like he's been studying playbooks and looks like he's finally used a lot of that photographic memory that he was showcasing in his job interview podcast with LeBron over the last couple of months. But he's looking like a little baby Coach K out there right now, a little baby Bobby Hurley and shit. So it's too early to crown him, but it's like just off eye test, it makes sense. There's identity and there's motion, and LeBron is not having to like fight for 30 points. You're not seeing AD struggle to find who am I passing to on the, like, no, bro, it's just go. Like, yo, we already have the sets. We know what we're doing. Get into the next play. Side outs are leading to getting looks at the basket for their bigs. It's a beautiful thing so far if you're a Lakers fan. So I feel like if you box stock in JJ Redick, hold your stock in JJ Redick because the future right now
buy more
looks bright.
Yeah. Q, you got it. Like you hit everything on the head. And I'm gonna go a little bit further. I think the biggest difference, right? Because everything that you said in terms of having a system allowing AD to know exactly where the pass should go to, right? And it's not just pick and roll with him and Bron looking for the lob and then LeBron shooting a three, even though he shot 40% from there last season. What you're seeing, I think the biggest difference with everything that Q added is you're seeing LeBron James as the screener more. And what happens when your best playmaker, your best decision maker with the ball gets it when he's going downhill? The defense is now at a deficit playing 3-on-4, right? We see that with what other team that I talked about that they needed to implement some of these things, Golden State with Draymond Green. When Draymond Green finally gets the ball in that pick-and-roll situation, he has shooter, and a big man in the dunker's position. And now we're doing that with Bron. And nobody in the history of the NBA had more than 15 points, 5 rebounds, or 5 assists in a quarter. And LeBron just did that. And he made it look easy. He shot 100% the other night. And I watched it. He just dominated a stretch of basketball. And it was not forced. It was simple. Everybody was where they were supposed to be. The difference of or how far LA can go is how many threes they can hit. Because they're not forcing threes. They're getting good shots. And if they go 6 for 30, they're not going to be Boston. They're not going to be a whole bunch of other teams that shoot better than them. But if they can get to 33%, 35% as a squad, oh, this is going to be an issue. Dante Kinect, Shelton, you're 100% right. AR looks even better in this system because guess what? When LeBron is setting the pick, who handled the rock? AR-15. So The way that that JJ has these players playing in the position that they're playing makes all the sense in the world. They just got to do one thing from a roster personnel standpoint. Get rid of D'Lo. That's all they got to do.
Mm. Yeah, I know I picked them to go to the finals. I'm trying, but it looks impressive. And I think there's buy-in. We have a long, long, long way to go, everybody. We got to keep saying it. So, put emphasis on that because it's so, so early and a lot of things could change. One injury here, one injury there. You just never know. So, that needs to be established. But nevertheless, like, it just looks different. And I think there's buy-in. You know, LeBron and JJ did a whole show together, like you pointed out. So they understand how each other think when it comes to basketball. And here come LeBron already saying and knowing what works. And so JJ don't say have to do much selling. And we've seen JJ talk on sports when he was on ESPN. So we know the mind he has, and he's going toe-to-toe with LeBron. So there was already some coaching player chemistry built there. And he has concepts and different things that he's bringing. So now let's see how he manages a whole season once teams kind of start to figure out some of their favorite sets and what they like to go through. How does he counteract that and, you know, manage minutes and players? But I definitely want to see Dalton Kennett. He's my new favorite player. I want to see him, you know, get more time and see what he do.
Ken, you know, you talked about counteracting. You know, naturally what happens is just the chemistry where on the court, we know what the set is, but we know that the defense is going to overplay it. LeBron, AR, I'm going to just give you that look. Backdoor him on this one. You know, like those type of things are just naturally going to happen, Ken. One of the things that Q said that I 100% agree with that I kept questioning under all of the other leadership of the head coaches that they've had. What is your identity? When the chips get down, what are you going to go to? We saw them down 22 to Phoenix, and they stuck with it. There was no hero ball. There was like, hey, let's stick with it. Things are going to happen. Things are going to happen. And what happened? It happened. And they came back and won that game, Kev. So to me, identity is there. Defense is solid, not amazing. But in this day and age in the NBA, if AD is your best player and LeBron can play a supporting role like he's doing right now, which is an exceptional supporting role, if he could do that, Ken, and they can get just enough stops, they don't have to be a defensive juggernaut. But if they could get enough stops, they can go far in the West.
All right, reading some members chat and the super chat, and then we'll call it a show. Woo Young, so what happens when he gets all this rest this season and gets booted in the second round again?
he just loses.
He gets moved down the list. He go to top 15 instead of top 10.
I mean, that's crazy as fuck. But anyway.
I think
y'all got to stop rest, doing that.
Well, crazy, I didn't get a chance to speak on the JJ thing. I think it's way too early to say what he is. And second of all, let's have this revisit this conversation about an all-star break.
But yeah, for sure.
But as far as the Embiid thing, I mean, they got Paul George, which I don't know why the Clippers traded, let him go and kept Kawhi. But I think what is the whole secret of this whole thing is that Joel just needed more time off for the second half of the season.
I mean, probably.
What if this actually does work? Because it's still seriously insane that he has never been to the Eastern Conference Finals. But what if they get there this season? Then what? Then people are going to be like, well, shit, if they would have done this sooner, they could have been further.
I mean, shit, man. You paying Tobias Harris $180 million, nigga, that shit ain't going to go have where you think it's going to go. So yeah. hope just replacing Tobias Harris with Paul George, we're just hoping like that's going to be an upgrade.
It should he finally off y'all team? Well, I thought he was going to die.
Dude, we paying that dude $180 million so he can get 8 points a game. This is
in Detroit. Then,
shout out.
I don't understand that move for Detroit at all. I didn't understand that.
You just need adults in the room. And Tobias is a good guy. He is a good guy, but that should show you what I think about him as a player when we talk about him being a good guy first. Yeah. Right, before anything.
Well, it didn't work, Shelton. They still losing.
Yeah.
Weedon boys, Murray and Russ are washed. Nuggets regressing.
We are definitely on Nuggets watch.
Nuggets watch as far as what?
Jamal Murray. The fact that they might be too old now. They look very old. they look incredibly old. They don't have a lot. And then their youth is too inexperienced to really kind of off counteract that, where it's like Christian Braun and those guys are, they're not there yet.
And Michael Porter has capped out. Michael Porter is not going to be the all-star, the perennial.
Yeah, he's not going to be Bradley Beal.
He's not. So he is what he is. He's very inconsistent. And they don't have enough athleticism on that roster. And I don't know what happened to Jamal Murray, but Jamal Murray is literally a shell of himself. He's not the same guy. Remember, we talked about it in the Olympics. Mm. We saw the slippage then, and it's pouring into the season, bro.
Michael Porter looks like he's twins with Kyle Kuzma in terms of their game. Like, it's just like you look at Kyle Kuzma one night, he'll get you 25 and 6, and then the next night he's shooting 0-13. You're like, what the hell just happened?
You're right.
So, man, the Nuggets are definitely on watch. I think that they're going to have to make a trade at some point. They'll have to put Murray and Gordon in some packages and see what they can get.
Yeah. Last one. Do you think Trae Young is being underrated at this point? He averaged 20 and 10 the past 2 years. How does he stack up?
Absolutely. Absolutely. He's being underrated. Absolutely. He's being underrated. If the Spurs can get Cooper Flagg this next year, I try to go get Trae Young in some trade. I try to go get him to complete my trio with Flagg and Victor Wembanyama. Just recreate that whole, like, you know, big three scenario there. So he's been so underrated over these last couple of years because, once again, another guy who doesn't play a lot of defense, but he's still so valuable with what he brings in terms of infecting the game, in terms of assisting, and just his points. So I think that over the next couple of years, people are going to look at him the way that we look at, like, I wouldn't say a CP3 because a lot of people hate him, but people are going to grow to respect his game more. Like, at least you got to respect CP3's game, dude. Like, you got to respect it.
So it's going to be tough to see. Go ahead, Shelton.
It's going to be tough to do that. And the only reason I say that, and I understand that what you're saying, and they probably should, but at the same time, we look at CP3 as a winner. That's the one thing that you got to give some credit for.
Who does?
Yeah, every team he went to, he improved. So that's what he's known for doing.
And a winner.
No, but he gets underachieving squads to achieve. And the main reason why is because he affects the basketball on both sides of the court. It's not just the offensive side. When you look at Trae Young, that is the glaring weakness, which is why they went and made the trade for the guy that's in with the Pelicans now. I can't remember
Murray. What's his name.
Deontay.
But DeJounte's now in New Orleans now. Yeah.
No, I know. But the reason why they even made that trade was 3 years ago when the Miami Heat played against the Atlanta Hawks, right? Coming off of that Eastern Conference berth that they had, all Miami did was blitz Trae Young and say, hey, one of you other Hawks beat us. You know what I'm saying? They didn't have a ball handler, and then obviously they just punished them in the paint. In that series as well. So they went to go get a bigger guard. It didn't work. I love Trae Young, but Trae Young needs to play with a physical big man that can affect the game on a physical level, all defensively and offensively. If he doesn't have that,
there's a couple teams where I like Trae Young. I like him with the Spurs if they go get a Cooper Flagg too. I like him in Minnesota.
Even without Cooper, him and Wemby, how you guard that, bro?
You'd be a crazy one in and out game. I like him in Minnesota because if you can, you know what I mean? I like him next to Ant because Ant needs a guard. He needs a lead guard.
But they drafted this guy, though.
Yeah, they just got
it. I fuck with Dillingham. I don't know if I don't know if they view him as like the future. But
yeah, 3-5. You got to give him 3-5.
Yeah, for sure. But Trae Young over Dillingham right now, he's probably taking over Trae Young. And then probably like a team like Orlando, because if they're they're on the cusp. Yeah, and the Lakers too. But the Lakers,
I like them on the Lakers.
They're in every trade though. So, and that's just because LeBron can get you there. But if we're talking about teams that need him the most, I feel like someone like Paolo needs a guard on his team that can actually score. He has a lot of defensive guys around him. I think Anthony Edwards needs a guard, and I think that Victor needs a guard. So we'll see.
They need him in Miami, too. You put him in Miami with those defenders.
Shit, Jimmy's on his way out, dude. So I don't know. Yeah. Jimmy got like another 2-3 years, man. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So legs looking like they're going a little bit.
Yeah, it's not looking good. All right, well, that's the show. I'm going to read B's top five that he lists for each position. At point guard, he has Shai, Luka. I'm assuming these
Hold on, what's the order? Five. What's the order?
One through five.
He didn't put a number? Okay.
He didn't put a number, but it has to be one through five, and you'll hear why. Shai, Luka, Curry, Brunson, and Fox. Shooting guard, he has Ant, Jaylen Brown, Booker, D. Mitch, and Cam Thomas. At small forward, he has Bron, Tatum, KD, PG-13, and Ingram. At power forward, he has Giannis, AD, Sabonis, Banchero, Holmgren.
This is too and easy.
Center, Joker, Embiid, Victor, Towns, and Alperen Sengun.
This too easy. He needs to do a top 10. That makes it.
Yeah,
hard.
It makes it more difficult to because a lot of those guys ain't making it top 10. Sabonis ain't making it top 10.
Yeah,
hey, he's a great player, but he's not making
it. And deserve to be top five at each position. Top five at each.
Yes,
position.
100.
Okay, I'll ask him to do it, and I'll read it on tomorrow's show. All right. So, but yeah, man, that's it. So, very. Ooh, guess the Yankees ain't looking too hot.
No, they not.
Yeah, they don't win tonight. It's a wrap.
Yeah, good.
Dang, poor Kyle. But Otani got one. Anyway, but we'll have an update, I guess, on that tomorrow. And the football show tomorrow, Lou will be here. We appreciate you guys tuning in. We'll do a check-in, of course, because it's super early, right? So like we did with the NFL, we'll do a check-in quarter, third into the season. We have to do the math on that to see where we'll do that at. And
George Pickens is balling.
Bro, Russ, I told y'all them niggas about Russ, George bro. Stop Pickens playing with it, bro.
Balling.
Justin Fields ain't putting that ball there. I told y'all. He's not,
but these refs also playing. They got some terrible towels underneath them flags.
Let's not do that. Let's not do that.
The Giants had 100-yard rushing tonight, so.
I mean.
He barely got that. I thought they was going to call holding on that, too, Sheldon.
Daniel Jones ain't helping. Daniel Jones ain't helping nobody.
Well, I ain't excusing Jones. But this Giants defense trying their hardest to make this a game. And they get cooked in the secondary.
Yeah, we will be live tomorrow, Rayshon Davis. So yeah.
We definitely gonna talk about that Bengals game. So we'll see y'all then.
All right, Lou gonna take my spot tomorrow.
No, Nick gonna have a Tesla bot. It wasn't Joe Burrow's fault. Like, nigga, it's gonna be
we're gonna have some conversations tomorrow, too. Then.
Yeah. All right, man. We'll catch you guys next time. We out. Peace.
Peace.